You may be seated. You know, Jake, there was a reason why they did not laugh at your joke. Is it was not funny. Yeah. See, now that was funny. Yeah. We are glad that you are with us today as we start a new series. We are coming down off the mountain as we have spent the summer on the Sermon on the Mount, as we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount. And now we are going to be, as I've entitled my sermon, At Wax Core. Back in the spring, the staff got together for a couple of days and we began to look at who we are, what are we about, why do we exist, all of those kind of questions. And we ran things, we put things on board, we talked them out, talked them through, talked till we were tired of talking, reminding ourselves just who are we? Why are we here at Washington Avenue? Rudyard Kipling is famous with this quote, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." And we looked at the kind of the who and the what and the why and the hows of how we act at Washington Avenue. What is it that we do? Why do we do these things? Why do we primarily exist? Who are we at our core? We did not reinvent the wheel. But we talked through a lot of things, reminding ourselves, what has Washington Avenue always been about? Reminding ourselves and clarifying the principles and the values of who we are. Reminding ourselves that if we don't do, we will cease to be who we're supposed to be. And so we had lots of conversations and we walked away from that and what we are going to share over these next few sermons is kind of some of those things. And hopefully, by the end of this, you will get a better understanding of some of the things that we've already been talking about along the way. So with that in mind, let me pray for us as we start this morning. Father in heaven, I recognize our, as we sang in the song earlier, that we are frail as dust and feeble as frail. We are just jars of clay that have this tremendous treasure. And so, Father, I thank you for allowing us to carry that treasure. The fact that you have loved us. And the only way we can sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," is because you loved us first. And now, Father, in this moment, as we come to worship through your word, may you speak through me and may your words be in my words. And may your word go forth and be fruitful. It is through Jesus, our Savior, that we pray. Amen. There's going to be four different slides that I'm going to run through here, and I'm going to bring some scriptures out. The first one deals with kind of who we are at our core. Why is it that we exist? Why do we exist? I kind of call it our primary purpose. What is primary in this? I want to read a scripture because these are some of the last words of Jesus before he ascended back to his Father when he gave his disciples this commission. And in essence, not only is Washington Avenue have this as a purpose, but I believe that all churches should have this. It is not something that we have invented. It's just that we are looking at Scripture and seeing what Jesus said and saying, oh yeah, this is our mission. This is what we're to be about. This is what all Christians are to be about. When Jesus says this in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Jesus goes, "Having gone, go. And having gone, you make disciples." There's an assumption that his followers would be going But as you go, he says, make disciples of all nations. And what does it look like to make disciples? He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Teach them my words. Last week, as we came down off the mountain, Shane's message at the very end of chapter 7 was this: those who hear these words of mine and does them, obeys them, puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Part of our mission as a church is that we go and we grow. In essence, I guess we could sum it up this way: we are about helping cultivate growth in Christ among the people of Amarillo. We've used a couple of words here to be handles. To be handles that we can kind of grab onto to remind us about what our mission is, of why it is that we primarily exist. And those two words are going and growing. Going, for we are to reach and teach people about Jesus. We are reminded, and we have been reminded in several of our sermons throughout just in this last year. And I got to do one about salt and then another one about light, reminded Jesus' words is about we are to be salt and light in our communities, in our circle of influence, in our places of work, wherever it is we go. Hoyt was telling me with the tattoo that he's got there, he said, I can't go anywhere without that already starting the conversation for me, to get to talk about Jesus or the church. Whatever it is that reminds us that we are to reach people, the people that are in our neighborhoods, the people that we have cubicles nearby, the people that we live alongside of, and within the house that we dwell, we're called to reach and teach people about Jesus. And so we are called to go, going. The second handle is growing. We use the term cultivating growth in Christ. 2 Peter 3:18 tells us this, but grow, this is how Peter ends his second letter. He says, you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You grow so that you get to know Jesus, and you grow until you start to look like Jesus and act like Jesus. And we use the word cultivate for a couple of reasons. One of those is we can't make you grow. We would love to be able to do, just like your kids or whatever it is, you don't make them grow, but you feed them food and their bodies grow once they start eating. Teachers who teach them things, but as they absorb and they pay attention to what's being taught, and as they start to do the studying themselves, well, in the same way, we cannot make people grow. But as Paul says to the church at Corinth, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. And so as people take the words, as we preach them and teach them, and in our classes in the different various places, as you begin to take the words of God and ingest them and digest them, God will help you grow. All we can do is work the soil around and create an environment for growth to happen. And so that's what we want to be about, helping cultivate growth in Christ. And secondly, we use it partly because, you know, our logo, the tree logo, it's kind of an agricultural, arboreal, however you say this with an arborist, am I right, arboreal? Is that fine? Yeah. It sounds good. Yeah. Or I might have made up a word. I get credit if I did. Yeah. But these are who we are about. And if we ever forget that we're about going and growing, if we're so self-absorbed, we will never go and we will quit growing. And if all we ever do is grow, we never grow and we never give out. We never give this message out to people. We will become, as one youth leader said many years ago, and I have not forgot it. He said, we will become spiritually constipated. Yeah. We are to take in and we are to give out. And so we grow and we go and we go and we grow. That is why we exist. Slide number two is our primary principles or core values, if you will. And we looked at what are some of these values that if we were to take them away, if we would not do them, we would cease to be who we intend to be. Let me read a few scriptures from that. Matthew 22. 2 weeks ago, I read these same ones. Jesus said this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. The second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these commands. 2 Timothy. Well, I'm going to read Romans 12:9 and then 2 Timothy. Romans 12:9 says, let love be genuine and without hypocrisy. And now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is reminding Timothy. He says, but as for you, you continue in what you have learned and you've become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. For all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what are some of those values? If we were to open up the Scriptures, we could come up with a whole lot of principles and values of how we ought to be. And as we talked our way through the boards and wrote things down and took some things off and erased them and then moved some things around, we began to say, okay, these things are coming to the top, kind of like cream rising to the top of who we are, and reminding ourselves, if we are to be about who we say we are, these need to be the principles we live by. And so there were four of them that we thought fit that category. The first one is love. Love God, love people. Jesus commanded it. It's the greatest command, he said. I mentioned 2 weeks ago that if everything that we preach you forget and you only get these right, and you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and you love others, you will go far if you just put that into practice. And guess what? They go together. John will say, how can you say you love God if you don't love your brother? Those are tough sometimes because guess what? Some of your brothers and sisters aren't very easy to love, are they not? And I'm not just talking about biological ones. Talking about sometimes the ones that we're around in here. Jesus says love is the greatest command. The second word, authenticity. We throw around here the words real a lot. We say we're about real people and real grace and real growth. If we are truly going to be real, we have got to be authentic. Authenticity, genuine. People spot phonies and fakes, and sometimes they see it in God's people. In essence, are we the same everywhere we go? Are we the same on Sunday and Tuesday and Friday night? Billy, Mr. Billy, our children's pastor, said it this way in a way that kids can understand. In a way that we got it. As we're sitting in that room and he's sitting over there on the couch, he said it this way, are we the same people in the grocery store? There we are at church. Are we the same people at work as we are at church? Are we the same people at home? are the same people on the road. I had to throw that one in. There's a part of being genuine and authentic and real, being who we are. There's one aspect of that you could say, well, I'm just who I am. But in Christ, our authenticity, our realness, and our genuineness starts there, but starts to becoming and looking more and more like Jesus. So that in our realness that way, doesn't settle in for the realness of who we once were. Thirdly, people matter. We all know the verse, for God so loved the world. If people truly matter to God, they ought to matter to us. And if we truly are going to be a church that's going to say things about real people and real grace and real growth, then people have got to matter to us. If they don't look like us, it doesn't matter, because they matter. They don't dress like us, doesn't matter, because they matter. If they don't root for the Sooners, it doesn't matter. They still matter. We had to talk about that, and God changed my mind on it, yeah. But people matter. In Washington Avenue, we want to be a place where people are welcomed and loved. And we strive to be that. And if you're here and you're visiting, you're a guest with us, and maybe you've come a little bit, and you haven't felt that, I am sorry. That is not what we strive to be. And when I say welcomed, I'm not talking about the people who are here and hand out communion or your bulletin, or the person that opens your door and says hi. There are greeters, and you would expect them to probably say hi to you. I'm talking about being welcomed by the people in the pew around you and in the hallway and in the classroom. Are you welcomed in those places? Are we welcoming of those people that we don't know yet? Are we demonstrating love in a way that Jesus would? People matter. And then this fourth one, Scripture taught. I guarantee you that when we, whether it is myself or Shane or Jake or up here, that we will preach the Bible. We will teach what Jesus wants us to teach. What God has put in here and revealed in himself, we will teach from this, because this is where, as Peter said, where else will we go? You have the words of eternal life. This is important enough to get it right. And unfortunately, there are some churches that take some things out and they change some things. We will not do that. I pray we never do. May we always be held accountable to that, always going back to Scripture, because it is a high principle and value that we invest in people, teaching them the Word of God. And when God speaks, we speak. Now, if you're one of those who, while I was teaching, noticed some things about that, if you looked at the first letter of each of those principles or values, you will notice it spelled a word. What word is that? Lapse. There you go. There's sort of a reason there, but before I get to that reason is, if you are a person who, excuse me, if you're somebody who's maybe more into the relationship part, you might have put that people mattered at the top of your list. And if you rearrange the words, you might have come up with the word pals, because you cared about people. If you are maybe more adventurous and love to hike, and you've heard us talk about being authentic and real, you might have put the A first, and you've seen the Alps. Yeah. If you're a little more demented and you just have that kind of personality, you might have come up with what, in our conversation, the way Leanne wanted to do it, in the word slap. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we chose laps. In fact, I can't remember if it was Shane who said it this way, maybe, but in the conversation we were talking, the fact that when we put these into practice and we do these things, it's like we're running our laps. We're putting into practice what we say we believe. And those too can be a handle for you. Just to remind ourselves, what kind of values do we want to be here at Washington Avenue and to have? How do we behave? We might remember these things through the word lapse. And if you don't have a lapse in memory, then you might remember them. Yeah. L, love. A, authenticity. P, people matter. S, scripture taught. Practice our lapse. Then this next slide deals with our primary practice. I'm going to read just a few other scriptures. In Acts chapter 2, Luke writes, "Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." In Ephesians chapter 4, "It was he," meaning Jesus, "who gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. But instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." And then lastly, from Hebrews chapter 10, says this, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage in one another and all the more as you see the day approaching." What is our primary practice? In our essence, at our core, what is it that we primarily do? We put together this sentence and we try not to craft it so as to be, let's just be cutesy with our words, or something that would be a good slogan to put on something. But who are we at our core that we do? What is it that we do? And we come up with this, that we gather as family to worship God and to cultivate growth in Christ and equip people to impact their communities. I'm going to highlight a few of those. First of all, we gather together, as the body of Christ, we come together. There was a period of time about 5 years ago when we weren't coming together as often during that low-down four-letter, five-letter word, COVID, where we were meeting only online and not getting to see each other face-to-face. And then people started coming in, trickling in. And the one thing I heard over and over again, I just needed to be around my people. Because we are made to need people. And so we come together and we gather. As Hebrews reminds us that we're not to not do that. We're to make it a habit, not the habit of not coming together. And part of this gathering is, there are some who are gathering with us this morning online watching. Thankfully, we have the streaming capabilities. And some of those people would be considered our homebound or shut in. And they're watching with us. And we have another ministry that takes communion to some of our homebound. But guess what? Some of our homebounders don't want us to do that because they do it with us when we do it. They watch along, follow along, take communion when we do. And thankfully, we have that reality that they can still gather with us. As the body of Christ, we come and we gather together. And in that gathering, we do so as family. The brothers and sisters in Christ. We are part of this body that he has put us in. And part of this family is that we are young and old. We are moms and dads and kids and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles in these families. We are of all ages. We are not just one. We are not an old church. We're not a young church. We're not a middle church. We're not a rich church. We're not a poor church. We're a combination of a lot of things. We don't all look alike nor act alike, thankfully. But we gather as family. And in this idea of being family, I said this in the first, and I'll say it here, because I have some conversations along the way, because there are conversations that happen. And sometimes people will feel like maybe we're leaving them out or we're leaving somebody out. And I hear phrases such as, and these are opposite extremes. All you do is cater to the old. All you do is cater to the young. Interesting when it's said both ways. Yeah. I will say this, we do not cater to any particular because we cater to all. We have said that we want to be a church that is intergenerational, that we are a church of many ages and all ages. And we minister to all, and we want all to minister and to serve. And so sometimes you'll have somebody out here at a door greeting, and they've got their little tyke with them helping to greet. And we say, you're never too old to stop serving either. Sometimes people are concerned about what it is that they like and what they want, more so than what we. And so I'll say these two things. You know, when it comes to music sometimes, and that becomes divisive often, and it gets around to what it is that I like. And if we were to go around the room and ask, none of us really all like the same thing. In this day and age, we have at our disposal 24/7 whatever kind of music we want to listen to. And when we come here together once a week for those 20 minutes that we're in the music realm, one of the things that I know is that the girls put together, never trying to cater to all, but recognizing we are a family of all. And so they work hard at that. And I also know that it's really, truly not about us. There is a one that we worship, and it's him. And he's our audience. And in those regards, I would say this, that if it was always one way, how would our young ever get to know the classic songs of our faith if all they sang was the new stuff? And how would the old ever learn to sing a new song if all they did was sing something that was something when they were young? Yeah, we grow together. We go together. Just like the Israelites had to cross the desert and the Red Sea, they did it together. So we go together as family. We don't cater to any, but we try to minister to all. And we do this together as family. And these things that we do as family is we come together to worship God. Music will be one of those aspects of our worship. The Word of God being preached is one aspect of our worship. We give our offerings. That's an aspect of our worship. And as we serve and minister to the body and to each other and to our world, those are ways in which we worship God. And then we come together also to cultivate growth in Christ. We've talked about that. That's part of what we come to do. And we have our Sunday school classes and the different classes that you can sign up for. And then we equip people. For you see, it's not about mama bird coming up here to feed baby birds. It's about us equipping people to be salt and light in their communities. It's about all of us doing our part as family members. And so, what's our primary practice? What do we primarily do? Well, we gather as family to worship God and to cultivate growth in Christ and equip you, people, and some of those who aren't even here yet, to equip them to impact their communities. And lastly, slide number four. Slide number four, and I'm going to spend a lot of time here because our next three sermons are going to flesh these out. But we have said, here's our primary process. These are our strategic anchors. These are the things that we hold on to that help keep us on mission, that remind us who and what and why. What are we to be about? And so as we say these words, real people, we want to be genuine and welcoming. We want to be people who are real, ourselves, that then allows others, your brothers and sisters, the ones who come through our doors, to be real also. You know what? We act like we got it together, and we all know we don't, but we're sometimes afraid of that. But sometimes we need to allow our brothers and sisters into our world just a little bit and allow that realness to come out. And who knows what God might do just through the genuineness of confession or the genuineness of just being honest and real. It's about relationships, and you'll see that in the leaves of the tree. But as you follow that tree down, you'll get into the trunk. And if you look at the trunk, it's in the shape of what? A cross. And by design, you do not know how much, Jake is laughing, how long we tried to get the tree and the logo and all that, but looking at it in such a way that when people saw our tree and saw our logo, that they would be able to maybe not go, oh, there's a cross, but at least looking at it, go, oh, there's a cross. Because in the middle of all of this, when we say real grace, grace was first demonstrated to us through the cross, through his crucifixion and resurrection, his forgiveness. That's where it happens, so that we can then exhibit grace to each other. And so that's where it goes. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, as Paul says to the church in Corinth. And he's given us the ministry and message of reconciliation. And now we're out trying to help reconcile the world to himself as we are being reconciled to each other. And then at the bottom there, you see at the roots, the word rooted. For you see, real growth. It is not about we're just trying to be real people who have been given real grace, but Jesus wants to take us from where we were as we come to him just as we are, and he takes us to where we need to be. In essence, we need to be in Christ and like Christ. And so over the next 3 weeks, the three of us will take one aspect of real people and real grace and real growth. So where do we come in all this? Well, I hope by the end of these four sessions, these four messages that we give, that we'll be a little more rooted in what it is that we're about, that we're reminded of who we are, why we exist, and why we do things. Not so that you can remember really what all these words are, but that you can embody it, that it becomes a part of our DNA, that when we walk around here, people notice that we're real and genuine, and it allows them to be, that people find grace when they walk through our doors, and that you do too. And that the more we look like Jesus and start acting like him, that it begins to change, whack into something we've maybe never known. That makes some changes in our communities, in the Amarillo and Canyon area, and in the realms in which we live and walk. One of the things that when you came in, if you did not get one, at both of these tables, it's a calendar-looking thing, month of prayer. And here's what you can do. For the next 4 weeks, as we have highlighted some different ministries and missions that we have celebrated each month over the last several months. This month, we're focusing on Washington Avenue. We're focusing on the ministries that we have and some of the missions that we support. And every day, there's these. But what you have here is just, you just have the words of the different ministry. When you go onto our website, you go online, there's a calendar, and there's a place you can click on, and when you open that up, it'll have some pictures, and it'll tell you a little bit more about that ministry and what you can pray for. And along the way, we want you to pray. Pray for your church. Pray for its leaders. Pray for the teachers. Pray for the people involved in serving. And who knows, this may be an avenue as you look through some of those things, you go, you know what? I might could get involved there. Oh, I didn't even know we did that. I would love to do that. And maybe some of you here are going, you know what? I've been coming a little while. Hey, I'd love to join you in all of this. I like what I see here. I like the fact that you're people who follow Jesus. And I want to do that too. I don't know where you are, but as you do this, please pray for us all month long. Click on those, go to the website, and if you don't, you can just take this thing, put it up on your, wherever you put it. Yeah, this would not work on our refrigerator because there's no space. But it might on yours, yes. Yeah. Because at our core, who we are and what we're to be about, if we forget, we will cease to be the kind of people God wants us to be. So we will keep preaching and teaching and reminding. Because in reality, most of our preaching, often it really reminding us of who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be. And we will keep doing that along the way. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for your heart for us. And we can only say we love you because you have loved us. So, Father, thank you for these reminders of what we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to act. Remind us of why we do these at all. Father, I pray for Washington Avenue and all the different ministries that we have. And as we lift up the different ministries each month, I just pray that you might raise up some workers in different areas that need them. Lord, you know the needs even before we do and what's going to be needed down the road. So we put it in your hands. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.